Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kobe Bryant, eight others, his daughter Gigi Bryant, the Altobelli family also on that helicopter that crashed in California. John Altobelli, a former captain of the University of Houston baseball team, a UH letter winner and alum. When we were talking on Friday, we were talking about the Houston Astros, and Dallas Keuchel was the first member of the 2017 Houston Astros to come out and apologize. Sorta. He apologized, but he had a lot of yeah buts. Well, later on that night, Mike Fiers was going to speak for the first time. You know what Mike Fiers said? Mike Fiers gave you a giant no comment. He said, you know what? I'm not going to talk about this. Baseball questions only. I think that classifies as a baseball question, but Mike Fiers wasn't going to talk about it.
Get out of here, man. Soft as hot butter, man. We'll talk about that later. We got a guest, man.
Yeah, we got a guest. Rick Bucher joining us now. Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. Rick. You're plugged into the NBA as good as anybody else is. What's the reaction been around the league that you've seen from your perspective with the tragic news of Kobe Bryant passing away yesterday in the helicopter crash?
I don't know that I've ever seen the league across the board at every level, from players to management to ownership to fans, react in shock and disbelief and mourning to the level that that they have to Kobe Bryant. And been kind of wrestling with it myself. I'd known Kobe since I first saw him with the Summer League team, with the Lakers Summer League team, and gave me as much access as he did to any member of the media. And yet, why I feel the way I feel is one thing, but I feel as if everybody's seeing him grow up before our very eyes, and maybe most important, growing into the father and the human being that we saw over the last couple of years, particularly since he's retired, is the thing that has resonated with everyone and that they identify with, that it's less Kobe Bryant, the player. Certainly he had his fans in that regard, but it's people who saw him with his daughter, Gianna, and knew of him coaching a girls basketball, AAU basketball team, and his devotion to that, that has really resonated with people and has made this so shocking that all of that has come to a full stop.
Rick, I know I agree with you 100%, man. The most impressive part of Kobe Bryant is what he's done off the floor, and I think what he was in the process of building and creating and accomplishing off the floor, but on the floor with you, man, you had some serious access to him. What can you give us a couple of examples of just some of your most memorable moments with Kobe, you know, in a setting maybe off the floor or about a certain game that he played or accomplishment that he experienced?
Well, there's probably two that I look at as bracketing the full Kobe Bryant experience. And the first was when he shot the four air balls his second year in the playoff game against the Utah Jazz, with the game on the line. And it was at a time where everybody was looking for the next Michael Jordan, and Kobe Bryant was stepping up front and center and saying, I am the next Kobe Bryant. And everyone, whether it was that performance or any other one at the time, was saying, the hell you are. You're not anything like Michael Jordan, and you never will be. And he was getting crushed in particular after those four air balls and that performance. And I saw him a couple of days afterward, and I felt bad for the kid because I'd seen him, you know, come in summer league. And I thought, this kid's 18, 19 years old, and he has great aspirations, and he knows what he wants to be and believes in it wholeheartedly. And the entire world is coming down on him. And so, and I just thought, man, it takes guts. You're in a playoff game. You're playing with Shaquille O'Neal. You airball a shot and you go, give me the ball again. I'm going to take another one. And you airball that and you go, I know the next one's going in. I mean, you got to either be crazy or you just have to be, have a supreme confidence. And, but he was getting beat up, and I saw him outside the locker room a couple of days later, and I just, you know, I've offered him some words of encouragement. Hey, you know, not everybody's against you. And he kind of looked at me and he smiled and he said, I would take every one of those shots again, and I'm going to make them the next time. He was completely unbowed. He didn't need my words of encouragement. They might have meant something to him later, and it's why we had the relationship that we had. But that's where I looked and I said, man, this dude is not going to be defeated. He is not going to be deterred from becoming what he wants to become. And then going to 2010, I was doing the radio sideline for ESPN for the NBA Finals, and they won game seven. He couldn't hit a shot to save his life, and he just kept going and getting an offensive rebound and getting fouled and going to the free throw line and found a way to eke out that game seven win, and was so exhausted that when we did the interview, he asked, can we sit down? Can we have this conversation while I'm sitting down? I'd never seen him so exhausted. And it was the culmination of what I saw, that kid shooting air balls saying, I don't care what happens. I don't care what setbacks I have. There is nothing that is going to get in the way of me accomplishing what I'm intend to accomplish. And the 2010 championship was as much as his last championship. It was as much a reference to that as what I saw in those air balls against Utah.
Being joined by Rick Bucher, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. Good stories about Kobe Bryant whenever he was really coming into his own in the NBA. And, Rick, you know, it takes one kind of person to say that and then to actually execute it. And I think that's where Kobe Bryant stands apart. Like, yeah, I'm gonna take those shots. I wouldn't be bashful in taking any of them again. But a lot of times you have people that say that, but then they miss them again. Kobe Bryant was the type of guy that was such a competitor and put so much work into his craft that, yeah, he might have missed a few, might have had some embarrassing air balls. But he was also the guy that was going to be in the gym more than anybody else. And I think that the work ethic is something that stands out to me with Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, it was a combination. He was going to put the work in order to make sure that he didn't miss it the next time. And there are guys that will say, yeah, I still want the ball. I still want to take the shot. But you can tell they don't really want to take the shot, or they'll take it, but they don't take it with confidence. Kobe was of the mind that it was his responsibility to put in the work so that he was capable of accomplishing what he wanted to accomplish. And he had this undying belief that if I do what's necessary, then I will accomplish whatever it is that I set out to do. And you're right. It's easy to say. A lot of people say it, but he was willing to put the work in and make the sacrifices. And, you know, honestly, that was at the heart of why he and Shaq got into the conflict that they did, because Kobe was like, dude, you're not working as hard as I am. When it comes to getting it done, I want to drive this bus because I'm the one who's in shape. I'm the one who's putting in the time. And I deserve this. I deserve to do this. And ultimately, that's what drove him to win championships. And I've said it elsewhere. You know, I also believe that he would have been okay with Shaq staying, but he wanted it known, Shaq, you're going to be the number two now, because everybody says Vince Carter and Allen Iverson and Tracy McGrady, if they were in my shoes and they were playing with you, they could win championships. And it's my ambition to show people, nah, I'm not just anybody. There's only one Kobe Bryant. And Shaq, if you want to come along for the ride, I'm happy to win more championships with you. But let's be clear who's going to be driving this bus.
Rick, what about the game Tuesday night, man? Lakers and the Clippers. It's obviously going to be one of many games, up through the All-Star break that are going to be have some kind of meaning. But the timing of this one being the first game following the death of Kobe Bryant, L.A. versus L.A., I mean, that's big, man. What do you think that game's going to look like, feel like?
Boy, yeah, there seems to be some people who think that this is going to have a galvanizing effect on the Lakers, or that there's going to be celebration of Kobe. I honestly, this doesn't feel like, the passing of David Stern, where everybody could certainly appreciate what he meant and what he accomplished, simply because Kobe was cut down in mid stride. Like you felt like the best was still ahead of him. And I believe that there's a sense of vulnerability for all of these players thinking that, well, Kobe's not the kind of guy who gets on a helicopter that's going to crash. Or if he does, Kobe's the kind of guy who figures out a way to still survive or escape or solve the problem. And so I think all of the players in the league, people in the league, are feeling incredibly raw and vulnerable now, thinking, well, if this can happen to Kobe Bryant, this can happen to any of us. And that's an unsettling feeling. And so I think the league as a whole is emotionally, I'm certainly there's going to be testimonials but it feels like there's going to be a lot of sadness and a lot of mourning that everyone's going to have to work through before we get back to business.
Rick, good stuff as always. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate those stories about Kobe, and we look forward to catching up with you down the road.
You got it, guys.
Rick Bucher joining us, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. Really good insight.
That was good, Chief. That was good, no doubt.
Clyde Drexler, Houston legend, of course. He had some interactions with Kobe Bryant. Here's what Clyde Drexler had to say after he heard of the passing of Kobe Bryant.
Well, Kobe was the standard of excellence. He competed, rarely was injured, loved playing the game, loved competing. So from that standpoint, you got to love the guy, because that's what you want every player to be like. Kobe epitomized the ultimate in professional and competitive spirit. And he was a gentleman, he was a businessman, he was a visionary off the court, one of the brightest lights of the NBA. It's such a sad day.
Clyde Drexler on Kobe Bryant. Coming up next, Mike Fier spoke to the media for the first time since ratting out the Astros. What did Mike Fier have to say next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610?
Portland has three timeouts left. The Lakers have two. Bryant to shot!
Little Kobe Bryant to Shaq. That was the one I remember. Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Kobe showing his selflessness a little bit as they would beat the Trailblazers in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals.
Hey, I love Shaq, but the fact that Kobe Bryant said, I want to do this thing my way, it's either my way or the highway, and then he goes on, and I believe he wins two more after that without Shaq. Back to back, actually, weren't they?
Yeah, with Paul.
Wow, what a statement, right? The thing is, you run Shaq off, you better damn good and well go out there and do big things. And so, when you asked earlier about the biggest moments, I don't know that I followed Kobe or the NBA for that matter to be able to sit here and go, okay, this was my favorite moment or that was my favorite moment. I sat there last night and watched a bunch of moments that were like, wow, right? But I think when you really dig into Kobe, the fact that he, for whatever, however you want to couch the fact that him and Shaq split ways, he immediately went on to win two more titles and do it his way.
Well, Shaq won one in Miami before Kobe won two, so there was some pressure on Kobe.
Right. Well, yeah. Either way, he went on to win two more, and that's that to me. That was just one of those like, golly, man, what a stud, man. Well, I mean, what an absolute monster. To put the organization on your back and go win too, man. So that would be my moment, my thought, my take, my favorite moment, I guess, fact would be, Man, those two titles after Shaq left are that statement. Those are big time statements, man.
You know who made some big time statements when they left the Astros not that long ago?
Tell me, please.
Mike Fiers made some big time statements a little bit earlier. I guess it was late last season after the World Series with the Athletic, made those comments that led to the MLB investigation that led to the Astros being labeled as cheaters. Well, Mike Fiers spoke for the first time since then. They had a little fan fest where the players spoke to the media. The Oakland A's made a big deal that Mike Fiers was going to speak to the media for the first time. And here's what Mike Fiers had to say.
For that story, did you sort of take a deep breath knowing that a lot of scrutiny and attention was coming, or has this taken you by surprise to some extent?
And listen, I appreciate the question. I'm not talking about that right now. I'll talk about baseball. I'll talk about, you know, my team moving forward. But right now, just trying to focus on, you know, this team and nothing.
My next question would have been, my follow-up question would have been, Mike, do you think this isn't baseball? Four baseball men got fired because of this. And I'm not saying Mike Fiers is like totally in the wrong for snitching on his teammates like some people do. Pedro Martinez thinks he was wrong. Jessica Mendoza thinks he was wrong. Like, I'm kind of on the fence on the whole deal. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have ratted out my team like that. But I'm not going to completely throw Mike Fiers under the bus. But I will throw him under the bus for this. Like, if you're going to go out and you're going to tell a couple of journalists what was going on with the Astros in 2017, don't half-ass it. Whenever you get asked questions about it by the media, for the very first time that you speak to the media after the fact, you better own it. If you're going to do it, you better do it all the way.
That's my favorite JB cut. B-Mac, cut that thing right there. Make us a social media post on it. No, you're exactly right, JB. I mean, you're talking about a guy that you'd call it a rat. I mean, I'm not – a rat's a rat. He ratted after he was out of the clubhouse. I mean, it's not it is what it is, right? But that rat can't, on the flip side, when the fire gets the hottest after you started the fire, the flames are hot, man. Them suckers are blue now. And you want to say you don't want to comment on it? Like that's your response to questions about the fallout, like you said, about serious business of guys losing their jobs and other organizations having to answer the same questions that you're refusing to answer because of what you did. Other guys are having to answer those questions consistently. I can't. When I watched it, it was disgusting. To me, it's one of those, like, bad body language, bad tone. If he would have stood up and said, yeah, I'll answer whatever questions y'all got. I did the interview. I knew what was going on. Here's why I did it. And here, I'll face some music. Hit me with the questions. What do you got? Then I'd have been like, you know what? I respect the hell out of that cat right there. But the soft, no eye contact, looking down at the ground, I don't have a comment thing. Nah, you can't crawfish like that. That's not an option. To me, this is bad business. And I said it when I talked to Sean Pendergast a couple of days ago. I said, Sean, this dude, I believe he's got 1 year left on his contract with Oakland, right?
1 year.
I'll be surprised if he makes it through that year. But I don't think he'll ever get another Major League Baseball contract. I don't give a damn how good a guy's stuff is. I don't care how good he is when he toes the rubber. There's not an organization in professional sports. Hell, I'll as big a business as colleges are right now, there's not an organization outside of high school athletics that wants a guy that's a known rat in their building. Not just baseball, there's no organization out there that wants a known rat in their building. And baseball may be the most lenient one of the group. Not lenient, I said it wrong. Baseball may be the most baseball.
You mean they're strict with it? No.
You got guys pushing the envelope. You got guys.
Oh yeah.
You got baseball's a little bit.
Yeah. Rules.
Baseball's one that they need to protect themselves. I think all of them got skeletons in their closet. All of them push the envelope. Baseball takes it to another level, just across the board. Regardless of what you're talking about, I think they take it to another level, and a lot more than we as media and fans know. And I'll be damned if another baseball organization is going to sign this guy and get him in their clubhouse and feel comfortable about it. It would surprise me if Mike Fiers has a job beyond his contract in Oakland.
We'll take your calls on this. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. 713-572-4610. 4610. Clinton JB discussing Mike Fiers speaking to the media for the first time Friday, saying he only wants to answer baseball questions after he was asked about his participation, I guess, if you want to call it that, and his role leading to the article by The Athletic that led to the investigation of the Houston Astros. Like, if you want to expose cheating in Major League Baseball, then expose cheating in Major League Baseball. Like, if you want to tell that the Astros were doing all these sophisticated things that bends the rules of baseball and totally breaks the rules of baseball, do it. But don't just go up and say a giant no comment after you're going to put put your name out there like
that. You've positioned yourself to where you can't have a no comment, right? I mean, you can't do that and not have a comment based on what you like. The first time you face the music can't be a no comment, right? We talked about this last week, JB. All these different little fan fests that are going on, right? The players are coming out, Dodgers players coming out saying things, and Astros players are going to have to address it. I think the one person that everybody's waiting to hear from is Mike Fiers. I think he's one of, other than the Astros, I think Mike Fiers is the one that everybody's wanting to hear from. And this dude, no eye contacts me. He looks like I'm getting on a damn Southwest flight. Like I'm getting on a Southwest flight and nobody wants me to sit next to him, so they stare at the ground.
That's big guy. I don't want him sitting next to me.
That's what Mike Fiers looked like, man. Come on, man. That's where I would have, and I know media, you know better than me, but like I know you can't push the envelope with players, but I'd have been like, hold up, Mike.
Oh, I would have.
I mean, hold up,
there's
Mike.
My next question would have been like, you don't think this is a baseball question? This has everything to do with baseball. You're talking about the 2017 World Series. Four big baseball men have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
That's baseball to the T.
Yeah, no.
713-572-4610. Let's get to Dwayne. Dwayne, what's on your mind?
Hey, Clint, man, I'm a big fan of yours, man. Big fan. And I agree with you 100%. I played the game. I played collegiately and in the minor leagues. And I'm telling you, first of all, baseball is a game of cheating anyway. If you really want to draw the line on everything, I mean, I don't know a player that don't cheat. Have you ever seen a shortstop touch second base? Never. It doesn't happen. So the whole game is built on that. And for this guy to do what he did, four people lost their jobs. And, you know, and I just think it's all because they didn't want to offer him another contract. That's my personal opinion.
Appreciate the call, Dwayne.
Yeah, look, man, I'm not even one to, like, I don't care. I use the term rat loosely. Like, I ain't mad at the dude. If for whatever reason you feel like you needed to do that, then go. But own it. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what you're going to do, then damn it, own it and stand up and let's talk about it. You know, I don't need to agree with everything you say. I don't need to agree with your moves. I could be a 180 from, like, I would never be a rat. I would never rat.
I wouldn't either.
Right? To me, on stuff like this, especially if I'm in the, for him to rat and go no comment, following, or right behind Dallas Keuchel saying six of eight teams in the playoffs that year. We're still inside. I think that's what he said.
He alluded to it. He said that six of eight teams were changing all of their signs and alluding to the reason that they were changing
because
their signs.
Because everybody was trying to steal the stuff the wrong way, right? Yeah. So to me, it's one of those that, I don't need to agree with you. We don't need to be cut from the same cloth. But if you sign up for something, you got to see it through. Like, you can't – this dude, he's cooked. He's done. Crocodile Dundee.
Well, there might be another reason why he gets cooked at some point. There were some Twitter rumors that were out and about earlier this weekend. We won't get too much into the Twitter rumors. We got some people asking if they're true. No idea if they're true. I hope for Mike Fiers' sake that they aren't true, those rumors that are out there. But I'll let you be the judge. Hopefully they're not. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Brown, I'm on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Of course, a big portion of the day, we're looking back at Kobe Bryant. He was one of nine people that passed away in the helicopter crash yesterday in California. He and his daughter, Gigi Bryant, the Altobelli family. Christina Mauser was the coach of that Mamba basketball team. She passed away as well. Sarah and Peyton Chester, a mama and a daughter that played on that team, and Era Zobayan. Jerry West talking about Kobe Bryant. Of course, Jerry West, the logo, big part of the Lakers organization. He gave his thoughts on Kobe.
It didn't take long to see the talent, but also to see the enthusiasm he had for the game, his knowledge and thirst to get better, to learn more. And during the process of the draft, we were tried to trade him for the second, third, all the way down to number 13. And finally, Charlotte said, yes, we will take him. We offered Vlade Divac, who was one of the best starting centers in the league, and everyone wanted a center, and they thought there was something wrong with him if we wanted to trade him. I don't think they had any idea that this was a stepping stone to put us in a position to draft, to not only draft this player who we thought was the best player in the draft.
One of the biggest trade steals of all time, Vlade Divac, who was a good NBA pro for Kobe Bryant, who would turn out to be one of the all-time greats. That was the logo Jerry West commenting on Kobe Bryant. Coming up next, the Mamba mentality. We tell you what we mean on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Bryant with the save.
Oh, you got to get a shot here.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang! As Kobe Bryant at the buzzer in overtime gets the win for Los Angeles.
There are a number of families in pain this morning after that crash here in this neighborhood and the hills in this neighborhood behind me that killed 9 people. But in particular, the loss of Kobe Bryant is hitting the LA community, the NBA community, the sports world, and in fact, people all over the world really, really hard. People are in disbelief that this global and cultural icon could be gone.
It was shocking to hear the news yesterday. At first, you see the news, Clint Stoerner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. It's one of those things that you kind of know where you were whenever it happened. There's certain tragic deaths in life that you remember where you heard the news, when it happened. And I'll never forget reading the news of that. And at first, whenever you read it, you're like, this can't be true. Is this real? You start to ask other people, is this real? You start looking for confirmed accounts on Twitter. Is this something that's actually happening? And then when you realize that it is, you don't want to believe it. And that was just an eerie feeling yesterday.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy that transcended just the NBA community. You're talking about a guy that impacted more than just NBA fans and basketball fans. You're talking about a guy that the reach of what he was doing on and off the court for men and women, for kids and adults in the film industry, in the basketball world. I mean, what this guy meant was far, far bigger than simply basketball. And when I heard it, man, I was like, no way. This has got to be a fluke, right? A lot like Joe Klein said, he thought it was something that people were maybe roasting Kobe Bryant on the fact that LeBron had passed him. You know, I thought it had something to do with those two things tied in, that Twitter, social media was just messing with him and was just talking trash. When he first heard it, I was like, no way, this has got to be a prank. This has got to be somebody talking trash. And come to find out, it was true, man. So it's definitely a sad day, not just in the sports, the sports world, but in our world as we know it, man.
Yeah, sad for Kobe Bryant, the Bryant family, his daughter Gigi Bryant on the flight, had some Houston ties to it as well. John Altobelli, his family, Carrie Altobelli, his wife and his daughter Alyssa Altobelli were also on the flight. John was a captain for a Houston baseball team, the University of Houston baseball team in the late 80s, and was an assistant coach there for a while as well. Christina Mauser, the head coach for that Mamba team. Sarah Chester, her daughter Peyton Chester, and then the pilot Ara Zabayan. So our thoughts and prayers, of course, with everybody affected in that crash yesterday that killed a 9 in California. My sister actually lives in the area that it happened. She lives about 30 miles away from where it happened, and she said that the feeling and the mood there was something you couldn't explain. I asked her about the visibility, and she said it was a really dark, gloomy day. So very sad, the news that we all had to see yesterday in regard to this helicopter crash. And we're looking back at the life of Kobe Bryant and affected many people's lives and an icon in the basketball world. Yeah. And started to do some really good things in his second endeavor as well in his life. And we were starting to see the second act of Kobe Bryant. But one thing he was known for was that Mamba mentality. And here's a taste of that from Kobe Bryant, that Mamba mentality.
When I play against somebody and we line up, and you guard me, my whole purpose was to get you to reconsider your life choice to play basketball, right? So at the end of the day, you'd be like, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me, you know? And that was my mentality going into every single game, is just to absolutely obliterate this guy.
You know, the fact of the matter is I'm still trying to get better. So if I'm playing against a weaker opponent and, you know, I start coasting, I'm building nothing but bad habits myself. You know, if you want to play at an excellent level, if you want to do something excellent, you have to be excellent all the time. It's a way of life. It's not just I show up on Monday and be excellent. No, it don't work that way. Right? You got to be excellent across the board. Right? And that's how you build habits. When excellence becomes a habit, then that's just who you are. Right? So it doesn't matter if I was playing a game in Memphis or, you know, Sacramento, and you're playing against, you know, it doesn't matter to me. You know, you're going to get the same result.
It's a really good way to look at things, you know. Like, if you want to be excellent at something, how do you become excellent? You make it a habit. You're excellent all the time. I thought that was pretty profound from Kobe Bryant.
Any surprise that in that particular piece of audio, he's talking to the Alabama football team?
I had no idea about that. That's not surprising at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think that is a very, very good. Obviously, he was speaking to a team. The Alabama Crimson Tide football team. He's on stage with the Alabama Crimson Tide strength and conditioning coach. Saban's in the audience in the team meeting room with his team, taking notes as he always does. But I think as I hear that, you know, I hear what a guy does off the floor as well. Like, there's no off switch on a Tiger, man. I love the fact, because I've always, like, here's the thing. I've struggled with, when I was playing, right? I never wanted to take my foot off the gas, mm-hmm. right? I don't understand the thought process of getting up at any level. I mean, it happens all the time in youth sports, but at any level, taking your foot off the gas and not continuing to do what you do for four quarters or for two halves or however it is. And that's exactly why I've always felt that way. It's like you've got to use that time wisely to better yourself, right? If you're in a football game and you're just stroking somebody and it's late in the third quarter and you put your backups in, to turn around and hand the football off for the entire fourth quarter is crazy, right? Do what you do with your backups. If your backups happen to still get explosive plays and put up points, then so be it. Those guys have to be consistently getting better every opportunity that they're given. And so when I hear Kobe Bryant talk about that, when it comes to athletics, that's what I think. That's what I hear. When it comes to business, I think the biggest lesson that this dude has to offer is in the business world. I really do. I think athletics, I think everybody naturally takes to it. Everybody naturally will gravitate to Kobe's ways of doing things, like the Mamba mentality.
Yeah.
But in the business world, man, there's a bunch, not the business world, just in corporate America, there's a bunch of lazy ass people out there.
Yeah, just right? In general.
There's a bunch of people out there that are just lazy in general, man. And so when you hear the passing of Kobe Bryant and all of a sudden these types of audio pieces start circulating, it's a reminder, man, that you could really separate yourself in this world in life, financially, professionally, if you're not just lazy. If you just take that approach of always be getting better, whether you're talking about your health, or you're talking about your finances, or you're talking about your marriage, or you're talking about raising kids, always be striving to get better, man, and good things will happen. So there's a sad day, no doubt about it, a sad day, but golly, so much good is being circulated right now about Kobe Bryant. It's beautiful.
I think it's a good way to just look at the way you do things each and every day, right? Like, yeah, the business world, it's good to have like that Mamba mentality, but just your goals. I mean, your goal, whether it's being a good husband, a good dad, whether it's being good at your job, whether it's, you know, keeping up on your workouts each and every day, or keeping up on your readings each and every day. I think it's a good outlook. It's hard to do because you always have that complacency. But if you do make that excellence a habit, like Kobe is talking about, that's whenever you start to build momentum. You start building that wall one brick at a time. I think it's really, really good words to live by Kobe Bryant.
Look here.
That Mamba mentality.
There ain't no thinking about it too. It's hard. I mean, because dude, there's a reason why there's only been a handful of Kobe Bryants in this world. Let's be honest.
Right.
But yeah, there's definitely something there to pin on the wall and shoot for, whether you're in corporate America or you're a father or a mother or a young lady trying to play basketball, softball, volleyball, whatever it may be. There's a place for Kobe Bryant in everybody's life at this point in time relative to motivation and direction.
Press release just issued by the NBA. The National Basketball Association has postponed the Lakers-Clippers game tomorrow night at Staples Center. This decision was made out of respect for the Lakers organization, which is deeply grieving the tragic loss of Lakers legend Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gigi, and seven other people in a helicopter crash on Sunday. The game will be rescheduled at a later date. So there's lots of conversation. Yeah. If the NBA should have stopped business yesterday, canceled some of those games. In hindsight, I don't think they should have, because I thought that the 24-second violation, I thought that was awesome. I thought the 8-second violation on the, you know, was awesome. I thought Trae Young wearing the number 8 was awesome. I think going forward, that's going to be a day we look back at, how the NBA was paying their respects to Kobe Bryant on the floor. I think that's cool. But the NBA coming out just moments ago saying that Laker-Clipper game tomorrow night has been postponed.
Yeah, look, that's exactly what Rick Bucher said, right? I mean, he didn't say it was postponed, but he said that he felt like the atmosphere, the LA Clipper, LA Laker game would be more about still kind of a little bit in a mourning state than necessarily a celebration of somebody's life. And so this goes hand in hand with what Rick Bucher said, right? I mean, ultimately postponing the game until they can somewhat smooth things over, at least until they can grasp the reality of life without Kobe in LA and with the Laker organization. So not surprised, and I think it's probably better for all involved at this point in time.
Yeah, it looks that way. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. When you think of Kobe, you think of the competitor, that competitive drive that Kobe Bryant had. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to have this Mount Rushmore of competitors. Names that you would, you know, consider to be in that same class of Kobe Bryant and having that competitiveness that he was known for, that Black Mamba mentality.
I got mine.
You got yours?
I got mine done, baby. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, obviously, Tiger Woods, and Mike Tyson.
All right.
Those are my four. When you talk about, like, I will literally drop you like a bad habit, stand over your body and rip your heart out, it's Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and Mike Tyson. Those are my four. Text in. I mean, you text in
you can call in too.
If you got a different four, 713-572-4610. Yeah, give us a call. Either way, text line can talk or we can take calls. But those are my four, man. And again, I want to reiterate, JB. Like I said this from the jump, man. I think the one gene that professional athletes all have in common is that competitive drive to a whole different level. Like I put Tiger in there because like Tiger's a guy and plays a sport where if you don't have the competitive gene to like compete with the golf course or compete with perfecting a certain shot, then I don't know how you play at that level. Like I don't even know how you play at the pro level unless you have that, because it takes so much time and it's so, I don't know, it's like basketball, I could see where guys could go work at basketball. Mm-hmm. I could see where throwing a pigskin around the park is fun, you know? But golf, going and working a sand shot every day, you know, every day for weeks on end until you perfect a certain shot, it's so detailed and such a deep dive into being able to do things better than the next guy that you've got to have just an unbelievable competitive gene to play that game at that level and be that dominant as Tiger Woods was. And so for me, it was an easy selection for me. Kobe, MJ, Tiger, and Tyson.
I have Brady. Tiger's one for me too. I just love the way Tiger plays golf, and golf is Tiger's one of the biggest reasons I'm such a huge golf fan. And then Roger Clemens. Like Roger Clemens would put Icy Hot in his below the belt before he started to pitch. Like Clemens was about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I put Brady, Tiger, Clemens. I loved Mike Tyson. I loved watching him fight off, you know, outside the ring, maybe not so much. I loved watching Tyson fight. But the fact that he didn't show up for that Buster Douglas fight just kind of rubs me the wrong way. When he got knocked out by Buster Douglas, that was something that bothered me. On the text line, 713-572-4610, Kobayashi is somebody texting in as the drive that has that competitive nature. Hakeem the Dream, Olajuwon on there, Nolan Ryan. Michael Shoemaker, Formula One legend on that list as well. Pete Rose, Bill Romanowski. Got a bunch of them rolling in at 713-572-4610.
A lot of monsters. You know, all the guys that are on my list is kind of, I guess it's and it's one factor is I could see them. I could see it in them when they played. You know what I mean? Like, they're so, like, I love Roger Clemens. I love Hakeem Olajuwon, but it was so effortless and so smooth and so.
Yeah, he just played the game so pretty.
Yeah, it was just a and I'm sure, I mean, obviously to be that great, you have to have that dog in you, but I'm talking about guys that have that extreme dog in them, and you can see that dog come out in them if you just watch a quarter of basketball, you know what I mean, or a quarter of a boxing match, or a stretch of three or four holes with Tiger Woods. There's a million people that could be on the list, obviously. Dale Earnhardt, Barry Sanders, Wayne Gretzky. I mean, there's a boatload of them. Tom Brady, like, I just can't put a quarterback in this. I'm an old quarterback. I just can't put a quarterback in this list.
Why not?
Because quarterbacks don't have dog. I mean, like, I got a lot of dog in me, but I don't know where it helped me playing quarterback.
Okay, I mean, you would know more.
Like,
than
I was
anybody.
Tough. Yeah. Like, I'm known as being a tough quarterback because I wasn't very talented otherwise. But you know, I don't know.
I mean, you almost need a little bit of, like, one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know
what
I
mean? Yeah. It's gotta be some mano a mano, like Larry Allen.
Right.
Larry Allen's a guy to me at the offensive line position with the Cowboys that I played with that was just he would chew his arm off before he let you beat him. You know what I mean? Like, it was just. Like, I'll let you have it. I'll fight my tail off, but at some point I'm gonna be like, you know what, man, it ain't that serious to me. Like, some of these cats, man, are just different birds, man. And that's, somebody said Jenna Jameson. So, I mean, for me, those are the four, baby.
Yeah, I like your list. All those guys that you listed to are just people I love to watch. Like, I'm a huge sports fan. I have my favorites, but I'm not like this huge favorite of sports. Like, my favorite guys are the guys who play the game really, really hard. So, like, whenever you have the conversation about, like, Mount Rushmore of competitors or how hard they play the game, like, those are the guys I love watching play. Like, Kobe Bryant on the floor. As a Rocket fan, you didn't really like Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, very much. Why? Because he was torching your team, right? Like, you had the respect for Kobe because he was great. But whenever he starts torching you over and over again, you don't really like the basketball player.
Yeah,
like Michael Jordan, you didn't like the basketball player too much. You respected it. You liked it later. But whenever he's putting up 60 points against you, you're not liking that a whole lot. Like Boston yesterday. Like, the Boston Celtics hated the Lakers.
Yeah.
But you had folks in Boston crying over the news of Kobe Bryant. They didn't like Kobe the player, but they had respect for Kobe.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, we can look at it like this, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form putting Russell Westbrook in the category with Kobe, but – like, I did not like – I respected the hell out of Russell Westbrook when he was playing at Oklahoma City, but I did not like him.
Yeah.
Now that he's a Rocket, I'm like, hell yeah, I want to give – I haven't worn a jersey in years since I was a Joe Montana jersey in Kansas City back in the day. That was the last jersey I had. I mean, I want a Westbrook T-shirt. I want a Brody T-shirt. I like the dude. Yeah. I'm a fan, man, and that's the same type mentality. I'm a fan because when I see the look in his eyes, I think he's – might be on the verge of punching somebody in the teeth. I mean, he might be right there. So, yeah, I get it. He's definitely in that category.
He's on the brink of insanity.
He's not on the Rushmore, like, but he's definitely cut from the same cloth.
He has that competitive drive, no doubt about it. Here's another one from Jerry West talking about Kobe's legacy. Here's the NBA logo.
And I think all of us have aspirations when we draft players and put players in a position that they're going to be great. And to watch him grow, to watch what he became in this city, the legacy he established when he left. A singular word, and I heard somebody say this yesterday, Kobe, will resonate in the city of Los Angeles forever.
That was Jerry West on Kobe Bryant. Coming up next, the 5 o'clock fire. What better way to spin the 5 o'clock fire than former NBAer Ronnie Brewer had a ton of battles with Kobe Bryant. We have a conversation with Ronnie and talk to him about some of those battles next. 5 o'clock fire on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.